You'll love it.
I think I'm just 2 minutes late.
People below that, we're doing pretty good.
Just one.
What's that?
Just one.
Just one?
All right, guys, this setup throws off my mojo completely. I don't even know how to begin. Welcome to the San Carlos Computer Club. I'm Scott Stimson. It's Tuesday. We're Windows behind. We meet every Tuesday at 9:15, 10:15 here in Tequila's to talk tech topics with no set agenda, with no organization. Sometimes it's really good information, sometimes it's just silly. Thank you. And drink coffee. Today is Tuesday, February 11th, 3 days from Valentine's Day.
I could be in trouble if I keep forgetting that.
I haven't come with any topics, so I'm. I see hands, so I will take any questions. Ask your question. Ask it loud.
Okay. Two parts. The first part is we have this Windows 8.1 with Netflix as an app. I also, on the desktop, have in the browser Netflix on a website.
Yes.
What is the difference? Is there a difference? What's up with those two different?
Okay, so the question is, using Netflix as an application, and we'll keep it general, in a platform, versus using Netflix in a web browser.
Correct.
Right?
And then supplemental question? Netflix, we keep...
You know, that's actually two questions, right?
Right. No, go ahead. Netflix, again, we keep losing our video, doesn't keep up with the audio.
Everybody. Everybody has that.
Okay, so...
You get on a bicycle.
Yeah. Well, the first question is a good one. We're talking about Netflix, either using Netflix as an application for a platform. In your case, it's a Windows 8 application. It should be free. You're able to download it. You don't have to pay anything. You normally get it out of an app store. You can get a Netflix application on an Android device, like a tablet, or in the iPhone store. You can in the iTunes store. You can get it for your iPhones or your iPad. And it's really, the question of the difference is your user experience, because that app is actually different on those different platforms that I just mentioned. Some have more features than others. I also, if so I don't forget, you can get Netflix on just about anything. It's on the Roku, it's on Apple TV, it's in just about every smart TV that's been made. And it's also, you'll find it in smart appliances, like a Blu-ray player will push that it's got a Netflix app built into it. But the difference, when you're talking about on your computer there, like using the Netflix Windows 8 application versus going to Netflix in a web browser and using it that way, you're really just comparing your experiences on both. They are different applications accessing the same kind of content, but it's very possible that on the website you would have different features than you'd find in the application. You may not have all your different cues showing up in the same way in the application as you would see in the web browser.
Did you say it was free?
Yeah, it should always be free because you're already paying for Netflix.
Oh.
What Netflix has done is they've developed these applications for the different platforms.
The application is free.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the application is free because you have a subscription to Netflix.
Well,
you can use it.
You do pay for Netflix.
You do pay for Netflix, yeah, absolutely.
So when you get a Windows 8 computer, it probably already has a Netflix icon on the screen. Is that set up an account kind of?
Well, it's ready to, and they're using it as a promotion for the computer you're looking at. They've already got it set up. They know that lots of people are already using Netflix, And so they put it out there on the desktop or as a tile in Windows 8 or on a tablet. They'll put an icon there showing that they've already got the application installed. So there's no question. A lot of products will have right in their advertising. It'll say Netflix. You're able to use Netflix on this device. And a lot of that is trying to promote Netflix. If you're not already in Netflix, it's getting you into Netflix. It's saying that this product is able to handle high definition, streaming, internet, all in one go, just Netflix. Did that answer your question, Greg?
It answered mine.
Okay.
If you're already in Netflix.
Oh, the thing about the timing thing.
Oh, yeah. Let's.
Sure for that.
Let's get back to that in just a second. What were
you? No, only if you're already in Netflix.
Yeah.
On another computer.
Mm-hmm.
And you make the mistake of buying a new computer with Windows 8. Then, how do you use Netflix on the new computer with Windows 8? If you're already paying for it on another older computer.
Well, you should be able to use Netflix on any computer. You should be able to use Netflix
without
on
paying twice.
Right. You should be able to use Netflix on your buddy's computer. You just sign into
your
account.
Yeah.
You log into your account.
Even though it came on my computer 8, I still have to log into my account.
To your Netflix account.
Yes.
Is that the question? I'm sorry. You're right. Yeah.
You can do it up to 10 computers. I think it's 10.
You're actually both right. Because of the way that Netflix has been implemented in the past, it was unlimited, but not by choice, just because that's the way they started doing it to begin with. Now I think you are limited. I don't think you're so limited. I don't think that they stop you from logging in various computers, but there are a certain number of devices that you can use.
It will bog you down, and you can't get in more than 10 people at the same time, because my neighbors and I use the same Netflix.
Well, and the other thing that they've done, because they knew that people were sharing Netflix accounts, is you're able to authorize a certain number of accounts, like family members who can have their own specific accounts on the same account.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that allows
who's
you
to watching. That's who's watching. Who's watching.
I didn't know that.
Can you watch two different things then on the same account?
Yes. And it'll keep track of two different queues at the same time too. So you'll have your own queue and your significant other will have their queue.
If I have Netflix on here, can I put it on for the TV?
Yes.
That's not a smart TV.
Right.
Well,
HDMI.
Yeah, it depends on what you mean, because that device there, I'm assuming that's an iPad mini.
Yeah.
So there is a capability to move that over to your TV, but you're absolutely right. I'm sorry, I missed your name. Justin's absolutely right. It really depends on what interfaces you have available. It can be a cable, or it could be a device like an Apple TV that lets you AirPlay it over. Think of it, it's just a concept between your device to your monitor. It could be that plug-in, or it could be a service. And like, for example, if you had an Apple TV, I just a second ago said you could AirPlay it, but you wouldn't. You'd use the Netflix that was in the Apple TV. But like a Chromecast, we were talking about Chromecast last week. Netflix isn't a Chromecast, but that would be able to wirelessly. Let's say everything but Netflix you could get out of your Mini with a Chromecast. As long as you can get it into a web browser, if you could see it in a web browser, you could broadcast it to a TV set using a Chromecast. Netflix, if you got a Chromecast, though, you wouldn't need the Mini because you could just set your Chromecast up for your Netflix account. We were talking about it last week. It's a little dongle that plugs into the back of your TV and an HDMI interface, the high definition media interface. So you plug it in there, you power it with USB.
I know what her next question is.
The reason Chromecast is significant, and we talked about it a lot in prior meeting, is that it's $35 and it allows you to put anything from a web browser, well, the Chrome web browser, into displayed on your monitor.
There's a way to get the desktop on there too.
There's a way to get the desktop on there.
I found it online.
Oh, really?
I'm working on it.
Oh, well, please send me what you found.
You mean wireless?
I'd be interested
wireless
in that.
Wireless without the HDMI?
Well, that's right. The Chromecast is connected to the HDMI on your monitor. And that's really one of the most important things is you have a TV that can accept an HDMI connection.
It's not an actual cable. It's
yeah. You don't need the cable, though.
You don't need a cable.
It looks like a memory stick.
It looks like a memory stick.
And very much like a memory stick. An HDMI. Yeah,
it's...
Well, you know, if you're curious if your TV supports it, you could look at the back of your TV set, and it would say HDMI above it.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4.
So if you're trying to determine whether your TV can support HDMI, just look at the back of it. If it doesn't say HDMI anywhere on the back, it doesn't support HDMI. Yeah, or on the side. You're right. The flat screens will have a number. So the Chromecast is a device that lets you put any web page that you have up on your computer or your iPod or your iPad or a tablet.
Anything else with that HDMI?
Oh, there's a setup. There's a setup you have to go through, but after that, then without doing anything else, really includes just a button saying push it off to my Chromecast. So you're looking at something in a web browser. And at the top of the web browser, there's a button waiting at any moment to put what you're looking at on the screen of your TV set. You just hit the button, and it moves over to your TV set. Now, there are some disadvantages to this. Maggie's actually the most recent person I know that's been messing around with this. Have you found a way to control what's on your TV set without going back to your computer?
No, not yet. Everything I found says you can't, but I'm determined.
So from a user experience, what that means is if you're trying to interact with a web page, then you would want your laptop on your lap or your tablet in your hand so that you can click on links and they're appearing up on the screen.
I'm trying to get it on this.
Oh, you're trying to set up the Chromecast on that?
I got it downloaded, but... it said I needed a cast extension, which I needed for my computer, too.
Yes.
But when I click on it, it won't work.
I wonder if it's not recognizing the tablet. Did you look in the Google Play Store for the Chromecast app?
Yes.
Yeah? And so that should install the extension in Chrome.
You think.
Yeah. So it's dependent on your TV supporting HDMI, and it's dependent on you using the Google Chrome browser and having this Google Chromecast extension installed.
If I have to download Google Chrome browser.
And actually, for your device, after you have the Chromecast, because there's no reason to get into it without the device in hand, you would go to the iTunes store, and you'd download the Chromecast application, and it would walk you through the setup.
And, so where are you at, maybe?
Oh, I'm trying to get it on my little Google Nexus.
Because you want
I've got Chromecast, but it doesn't work because I don't have cast extension. And when it says click here for cast extension, it won't open.
All right.
So
well, that's an interesting...
Debating that.
And there's just not enough people using Chromecast in this group. We just don't have any information. You're our expert right now on Chromecast.
Got that speed issue still hanging out.
Okay. Anybody else want to add to the speed issue, the delay of video and sound? You have it?
Yeah, I have it.
Are you only experiencing it in Netflix? Or are you experiencing it on everything you're doing?
Everything.
Okay, so everything it's much easier to throw this out, but really this is advice for even if it was just Netflix. You go to Netflix and they're frequently asked questions which tell you to do this. You need to check your audio and your video drivers from your manufacturer and make sure that you've got the latest of both of those. It's also possible that your device has a firmware update. That's a pretty critical piece of software. It actually determines whether your machine turns on or not. But if your firmware is out of date, what that means is that they have found problems with your device and have resolved them using software. And so that very, very much may be a problem that they've resolved with a firmware update.
Yeah, online talks about a device that you buy and it speeds it up and stops all that. I mean, I just glanced at it. I didn't, because I'm not buying anything else. But
well, some of that stuff would be available to you depending on the performance of your computer. That's the other issue here is if you've got a new device doing this, without a doubt, it's going to be a manufacturer issue. It's going to be drivers or firmware. If it's an older device, you may just not meet the requirements for high definition. Your computer may not be able to push, and I have that experience with this netbook. It doesn't have enough video processing to handle the high definition standard. And so the experience comes out really bad. It's just very flaky, it's choppy video. Many times the audio is fine, but I can't push the frames as fast as they need to go for you to have a high definition experience. You could do some experiments on your equipment to see if it's that kind of issue. And you would always want to make sure you have the latest drivers and latest firmware to hedge your bets that you're going to have a good experience. YouTube gives you the ability to dial down the quality of your video. And so if you go to YouTube, many times you'll have the same kind of delay problem that you'll see with Netflix. Netflix uses an auto sensing, and it tries to dial in the quality to your bandwidth, not necessarily to the capabilities of your computer. And it does it automatically and gives you very little control over it. YouTube gives you a lot of control over it. There's a little gear underneath the video in the lower right-hand corner that you can click on, and it'll allow you to change the frames per second that are being shot at you.
And then you have some problems sometimes with the audio part.
Yeah. A little bit. Like Joan Baez singing like Johnny Cash.
What's that?
If you slow it down, you got Joan Baez singing like Johnny Cash.
Well, no, you don't. I mean, that's funny. But that's not necessarily what's going on. The audio will be clear, but of lower quality. It won't be slower. It'll be less dynamic. Yeah, that's right. It
when you're connected with a VGA, you need to supply an additional audio cable, right?
That's right.
Is that true with HDMI or is that a whole?
Not necessarily. There is some in between equipment that's still out there.
Does that have any influence on that speed?
No. No. You mean the out of syncing?
Yeah.
It could only in the aspect that maybe there's a driver issue. There's actually a hardware problem causing it. But again, this thing with YouTube, you could go to YouTube, you could dial down the frame rates. And I know many times on this laptop in particular, it automatically tries to play at the highest quality that's available off of. And I'm looking at it and the thing is just moving like molasses. It almost hurts to watch it. The fans have turned on. Yeah, you're like, oh, my poor computer is going to burn itself up. And all it takes is patiently accessing that dial, because my computer's all gummed up trying to deal with all that data coming at it, patiently clicking on the gear and dialing it down to 360 frames per second or 140 frames per second, and all of a sudden the computer comes back to life. I'm watching a standard definition video. It's not as clear or as pretty as what was trying to be, but it's a fluid video. Yeah.
The updates for the firmware and the drivers at the company site?
Yeah, you would go to your manufacturer. Hopefully, I mean, a lot of nice products have an updater that's included from the manufacturer. Now, I wouldn't rely, from just my personal experience, I wouldn't rely solely on an updater, but an updater is a great place to start. Yeah.
Yeah, on YouTube, when you go to that gear, there's a new one at the top, a new format. What is that? It's not high density, it's something else.
I don't know, but I'll go to YouTube right now and look at it.
No, it's
top end of the resolution.
At the top end? Well, it may... Oh, you know what? There are some YouTube videos out there that are already going out in 4K. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah. I just thought something different at the top. I didn't have
to. I mean, there isn't a lot of videos that are being uploaded in 4K. There isn't a lot of people doing 4K. But sponsored videos, I mean, like big production videos, could be uploaded in 4K. And then that would be available to you. I hope that helps. An updater is a good place to start. If you notice that you have an HP computer and it has the HP updates, you can click on that immediately. It would give you a list of things that are available for the computer. If it comes up completely blank, I still would encourage you to track down your product on your manufacturer's website to see the list of drivers that are available for download. Yeah.
Scott, it also depends on the speed you're getting your internet.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So what should be minimum speed if we want to watch Netflix or something like that?
Well,
it's going to depend on your upload.
Well, your download speed, yeah.
Your download, isn't it?
Your download speed. And
I'm getting about 3.1, so I'm just wondering.
So that should be enough.
That should be enough.
Yeah.
So what should be a minimum?
Well, it really depends on the quality that you're looking at. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking at standard definition, then you could be under a meg and be able. You can't be using the internet for anything else.
Yeah.
But you could do Netflix with under a megabit connection.
Yeah.
And we just don't have connections that slow anymore around here. Mm-hmm. If you're getting under a megabit in your connection, then you've got an issue with your internet provider. There's something either inside your house or outside your house that's affecting your.
You're using pipeline apps.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Does it really?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of overhead both on the internet connection and on the equipment making the connection.
Yeah.
3.5 would be very low, reasonably low.
Well, Chester, you've got an internet connection that's 10 to 16 megabits, 20 megabits a second. So yes, from your perspective, it would be very low. But it still should be enough to.
How do you get that? You got cable.
Yeah. No, they may make a cable, but you can also. Telmex is in fact their speed on a lot.
Telmex has a fiber optic connection that you can use.
Yeah, some people can.
Not everywhere.
And so that's.
Ranchitos has promised me in 82 years, he said.
But it's 10 to 16 megabits a second.
Yeah.
One of the side effects of them putting these fiber optic connections is everybody's Telmex connections are getting better. They're getting more reliable. Anybody that was out on the fringe of an area that has just now gotten fiber optics, well, they don't have to upgrade to fiber optics because they had to hook up a new switch out in that area. And that new switch affects you as well. So maybe before you were getting 3 to 4 megabits a second, now you're getting 3 to 6 megabits a second without a doubt.
Why does ours keep going out?
I went from 3 to 5 with the other program.
Yeah.
And then I went back in and tried to go to 10. Which can do, you don't need a full package for that. So it's only 200 bases a month or something like that.
Yeah, but they got to bring a new installation.
Oh, okay. Where I live, they told me I could only get 6 anyway.
Yeah. That's why. Because they haven't, they don't have a fiber optic channel running down in your area.
Yeah, but they do have the 10 available.
They have the 10 available in areas.
Not all areas.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you'd have to check with Telmex to find out what areas. I do know they have it up on the Caracol, at least in certain areas of the Caracol. They've got it in certain areas of the Bahia.
We have it.
I would imagine that the Country Club doesn't have it. I would imagine that... does Tekeli have it?
If you want to have a truck, because all of our utilities are underground.
Yeah, a lot of the gated communities probably can't take advantage of it.
But your mega cable, if you got mega cable, you can go that way.
Yeah, but mega cable in the gated community suffers from the same thing. They're responsible for their own infrastructure. And so every one of those deals has been just a ridiculous. But they would be happy to run a wire through your neighborhood if you guys would just let them do it. They'd put a telephone post right in front of your driveway and put a...
I think it's 500 pesos a month, but if you pay for 6 months, you get 7 months for the price of 6 months. But 499 pesos a month, and that's for 2028.
You just for the internet?
No, no, just for the internet. I don't get this.
Yeah, it's just for the internet. Where are you located? You said your internet was going out.
Yeah, I'm right there on the corner, trying to go to the tennis game. Right there next to Tim's garage.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you must have something going on there.
I guess so.
Yeah, because it should be good. I mean, I'm deeper into the Ranchitos with very little problem.
Yeah.
Are you on?
Yeah.
Is it something recent that's just started being an issue?
Yeah, ever since we got here in November.
Yeah.
Like every other week, we have to go down and tell them, and they have to fix it again.
That doesn't sound right.
No, it doesn't.
Huh.
And also, if you're using a VPN, you can have some...
We
use some speed tests on it, because if it's under 3, then there's some issue going on. There's some connection issue.
How do you do a speed test?
Well, you know, I put speed checks on my website. If you go to International CSI in upper... right-hand corner, there's one that's listed speed tests, and you can just click on those.
Okay.
Yeah, and do a couple of them, because you want an average of speeds, because you're only as fast as your weakest link in the chain, and one doesn't reflect an overall speed. You want to do like 2 or 3 speed tests from different parts of the internet, and then kind of average them together to get a feel for what your internet connection is doing.
All you do is type in speed test. Just do a search bar.
Yeah, on Google.
Comes right up.
When we have our service back, yes.
Yeah.
So you're without service now.
Well, when I left home this morning.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I unplugged the thing and plugged it back in.
Is that Meg Kate?
We actually have all the buttons on. I mean, all the lights are lit up, but no internet.
But it won't function. Maybe there's an equipment problem.
Yeah.
We had that problem. We had to get a new router.
Yeah, maybe your router's the problem.
Well, we've gotten a new box for
it. Yeah, they give you a new box.
Yeah.
Yo, did you do the upgrade?
No, we didn't do the upgrade.
I did.
But,
yeah, they have to. Yeah, they have to.
And we got a new box.
The fiber optic upgrade?
Oh, two fiber optic. Yeah.
It's pretty impressive what they're doing. Because
they can't do it in our area. Around Cheetah.
Well, I know with the DSL, they
can't
just replace the new router.
Yeah. And you're right. If you've got an older router that's giving you fits, you can just walk into Telmex and they'll hand you another router.
Is it a router or both?
It's both. Yeah, those devices are a router, modem, switch, and Wi-Fi, all built into one.
What do you get for speed on yours? You're in the same area. What do you get for your speed to download?
For downloads, it's about 3.5 to 4. That's
a little bit more than that.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't expect much more than that because we are kind of on the fringe of the DSL range. So, but it's constant. It's steady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every time I test mine, it's 3.1, 3.15.
Yeah, I guess we are getting a little bit more than you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, the frustrating thing about getting 3.1 is that's all they contracted for you.
That's right. Yeah, I know.
If it would drop to 2 something, you could be complaining with them about service.
Yeah.
And so they really play that distance from it.
Yeah.
There's no reason to upgrade the infrastructure in that area until they can't provide what they contracted to them.
But they've also got more competitive with the rates, I think.
Oh, yeah.
They used to be just terrible.
Well, you know what they did this last summer, and they've been doing this for a while, is they doubled our performance and left us at the same contracts. They didn't say anything about it. All of a sudden, you went from 1.5 megabits a second to 3.
Yeah.
I use a 1.5 to a potential of 3. Now it's 3 with a potential of 6. Yeah, everybody's connection should be getting at least 3. And that's why I say that you're not paying any more for your internet connection than you were before, but you have a guaranteed 3 megabits a second.
Yeah.
Whereas before you didn't. Before you had a one, a guarantee of 1.5 megabits.
And get 0.8.
Well, if you got 0.8, then you could call Telmex and say, I'm getting 0.8 and I'm contracted for 1.5, so what's going wrong? Yeah. If you, but see, what happens is you get in these fringe areas, and all they have to do is tweak 3 out of that area, and they've given you what you've contracted, so you can't really even call up and complain about it. They're giving you what they said they would give you. They give you a 3 with a potential of twice that.
Okay. Can I?
Oh. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Can I ask a question about something else?
All right.
Roku.
Okay.
What do you think of it?
I think it's a great platform. I haven't actually spent much time using it, but I've heard lots of good things about it. He's asking for an opinion on Roku. Chester, you have one, don't you?
No, I'm going to go back to Roku. I switched from Roku 1. I bought a Western Digital. And it has hard drive in it. I can't get Amazon Prime, so I'm going to buy Roku 3.
Roku 3 is supposed to have it, yeah.
Well, it's a media player device. You're able to plug it into your TV set.
If you don't have a
stream
smart
stuff
TV,
to it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
It becomes a smart TV.
Yeah, it turns a regular TV into a smart TV.
Anywhere from 50 to a hard drive.
Well, saying smart TV is kind of like saying PC. It's a general, it's generalized term.
But there is something about it that's different.
Well, yeah, it has a microprocessor in it. It runs software. And many times it has an app store so you can load it up with applications.
Plus the wireless ability.
Yeah, most of them now do support wireless.
And then they're semi-smart.
Yeah. Now, when you're Roku, you have to pay for just about
You pay
just about every one of them, right? That you can pick.
Well, you buy the Roku 3.
No, but a monthly fee.
No, I don't think so. I think it's Roku 3. I think you buy the unit.
No, you buy the unit, but then you get to play Amazon and HBO and everything. For each one of them, you got to pay an additional.
That's
like
right.
Amazon
you have to be
pay
in
for the pay per view.
That's
pay-per-view.
Right.
Same for Hulu and everyone. Amazon Prime.
That can amount to a lot of money.
Yeah. Amazon Prime is $75 a year, and that's unlimited.
Oh.
It's kind of like Netflix, except Netflix you pay it a month.
Yeah.
Amazon Prime you pay a year ahead.
And you get free shipping. Throw that in there. That's the reason for Amazon Prime is they're selling free shipping, and as a result.
On everything,
You have an access to a catalog of videos that you can watch for free.
But you need GPU.
No, not necessarily.
No.
Do you need a VPN for any of your Amazon Prime stuff?
I don't know because I have VPN.
Oh, because you have VPN, right? Okay, you don't have Prime though, right, Maggie?
No, but I buy movies from Amazon, and if I want to download them to my PC, I have to use.
Okay, so if you want to hold the content on your device, like say you're on an airplane or you're traveling in the car, then you need a VPN to get that content here to put in the device.
I have a Amazon Prime. Yeah, I try to get the movies simply to see them, the Amazon Prime movies, because I can't because I'm in Mexico.
Well, I can do that. I can get them.
Well, you don't have Prime, right? You're doing instant video. And those are digital digital content that you've purchased.
You don't rent them.
So you're trying to watch the free content.
That's right. That comes with Prime.
That comes with
which
Prime.
Which I paid my $75.
Okay,
but I'm told that I can't do.
Then maybe you do need a VPN to watch even that. Yeah.
I think I do.
No, because it would be a different kind of copyright rights that you would have to satisfy. I would imagine that if Amazon is coming into this market like Netflix did, then there's a small catalog of Latin American programming that is becoming more and more available.
Well, it would be.
That you would have access to without a VPN because they've worked out the licensing agreements with Mexico. Well, and when I say it Latin American programming, I mean what we're really saying is the any programming where they've worked out the licensing agreements for broadcasting it in Latin America or in Mexico. So I mean it could be American programming. It's just they haven't worked out the licensing yet. They may, one of my favorite examples is always the MacGyver example with Netflix. When they first came into Latin America, you could watch MacGyver on Netflix, but only in Spanish. Right? Because they didn't bother to put up an English track because it wasn't about playing English, it wasn't about playing to Americans in a foreign country, it was about playing the licensing agreements for what was being played in Latin America.
Mexican content.
Yeah, that's the idea.
There's an ideal percentage that has to be Mexican content. Canada had the same thing. Canadian content, mm-hmm. And they blocked all the U.S. Mexico's doing the same.
Well, no, it's not Mexico. It's the copyright holders. It's actually the people that own the content that is not able to come to a relationship with Netflix.
Oh, okay.
That's what's going on. They say, we'll blanket it out on the United States, but the international stuff, they haven't come to an agreement.
The best VPN ever did is one. Hide My Ass.
I use Hide My Ass. Are there anything better? That was going to be another question.
Yeah, I would be hard-pressed to pick a best. The ones that I know people are successful with are Hide My Ass, Ytopia, Strong VPN.
Strong is supposed to be VPN.
Yeah.
Cloakbox.
Well, Cloakbox uses Ytopia.
My Ytopia dropped out.
Is it your VPN that drops out? You know, do you have it on a router or as the software? Have you tried just changing your point where you're gonna connect up? Because I've found that those dropouts, if you start surfing some different endpoints in the States.
Hide My Ass recommends
that. That's neat. Yeah, I would just try some different endpoints. Yeah, in my experience, when we've had dropouts on a VPN, I've had to pick a different location until I finally found one I was satisfied would stay stable. And it really is between that chain of connections between you and them. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Is it possible for the other end to be turning up your music? Here's my example. If I try to do something with my bank over the
mm-hmm.
and I said I was in Canada, and they said, no, we can't reconcile your IP address with your location. You wouldn't let me do it. And I tried different locations in Canada and no success. Wouldn't let me go through. So are they reading that it's Hide My Ass or it's
supposed to be encrypted?
I had success with a Charles Schwab opened an account because they thought I was in Phoenix. But I would not do it if I was in Mexico.
But
you're in Canada. Well,
you said I might get a card in Orlando. It might have heard the word cannabis.
Well, it could be. I know that Hulu has done things like what I'm going to propose in the past. Hulu being a TV viewing site that is dedicated to making sure the rest of the world can't see it, only the United States. The Hulu keeps databases of IP addresses that are used by VPNs.
Yes.
And so it will very much block big chunks of IP addresses that they know are frequently used by VPNs. And so maybe your Canadian bank, as a security measure, is doing something like that. They
it determines that that's a VPN.
Yeah, that's an endpoint node.
It doesn't say that. It just says you can launch the terminal.
Well, it's probably telling you the truth. It can't determine where you're located because you're using a VPN. It makes it look like you're right next door, but we know you're not right next door because you're using...
We just don't know where you are.
Yeah, we just don't know where you are. So because we don't know where you are, we're not going to give you access.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thanks for turning
up. Well, I get ads constantly to download this Hulu account. Would it be advantageous to have Hulu in your own computer to protect your...
No, Hulu is a video service similar to, like, on the level of Netflix or Amazon Prime. Hulu is a site that you can go to watch stuff that was on network TV.
It's a pay-per-view.
Well, it's not exactly a pay-per-view because it's an open catalog. They get their revenue from the advertising. And so you watch advertisements as you're watching these videos. And even if you pay for the account, you still watch advertising. So it's a really weird... I mean, it was big when none of the networks would put their stuff on the internet. You could find their programs on Hulu. They had a consortium that came together and developed this thing, Hulu. I remember because they were concerned at the amount of illicit content going on Netflix. Their shows were being copied and stuck on, not Netflix, did I say Netflix? On YouTube. They were sticking their shows on YouTube without permission, and so the industry was spending all their time with takedown notices. And so they developed Hulu to try and circumvent that. Why would you put the show up on YouTube when you can legitimately go and get it from Hulu, and all you have to do is watch a couple of advertisements? It started out as a real joke, turned into an amazing service that worked really well, that lots of people were using. The pay model is so that you have access to it on your devices. So if you have like a Roku, or I think Western Digital has a Hulu app. It's called Hulu Plus.
Hulu.
Okay. I'm not familiar with Hulu. But if you're paying for Hulu Plus, then you're allowed to you can have the app in your phone, you can have it on your tablet. You're still watching advertisements next to the content, but what you've paid for is the ability to put it on your devices. And now it's kind of turning back into kind of a joke because all the major players are coming out with their own way of doing things. They're putting their stuff on Amazon. They're broadcasting it themselves with advertising. They're putting it in Netflix.
They figured out how to make the money on their own.
That's right. And Hulu was before the players knew how to make money off of putting their videos on the internet, and they were getting sick of people just copying and sticking on YouTube. Well, yeah, I mean, sort of, yeah. I mean, let's say the industry dealt with it the same way they dealt with it in Napster. I mean, they had that same mentality. They weren't geared up for it. They didn't know how to deal with it. Instead of, like, suing Napster out of existence, they decided... I mean, this is a more constructive way to deal with the problem. Let's come together and make one entity. And then they have a history of kind of working against Hulu. Right? Like, Hulu was more successful than they expected it to be. And so they would do things like they would pull content from Hulu when they saw it was getting too much attention and they weren't making enough money off of Hulu. They would pull it off of Hulu. So here they created this beast, and then they wouldn't let it turn into what it could turn into.
Something about Google Earth.
Sure.
I'm going to use Google Earth in a PowerPoint presentation. Can I do this without being online?
I don't know. That's an interesting question. You actually want to navigate Google Earth.
Yeah, just to present the map that they want to do. Yeah, the single picture I can, but I cannot just with the zoom.
Without being online,
you can't. You cannot. Just have this window.
You just listen to me here. Well, what would probably be better, what I've seen in PowerPoint presentations, is screencasts of a Google Earth presentation. And so you set up your Google Earth like tour, which I can't even claim to have any expertise in. I haven't spent a lot of time doing it. But you can create a tour of sightseeing points.
Yeah.
So you can navigate all that together the way you want it to be. And then you can use an application to capture that video. And so what you present in the PowerPoint is the video of that tour. Yeah, that's the way you would do it. And so you wouldn't try and run Google Earth during the presentation. You just run a video of Google Earth during the presentation. So that's possible, yes. Yeah. Wait. To conclude, I would screen capture Google Earth, and you'll find people that have been doing this or trying to figure out how to do this.
Thank you.
I've been reinfecting the top arcade disc.
Yeah.
You know somebody else that? No. And I forgot how I got rid of it before. Anybody remember?
Pop arcade hits.
There's these little pop-up hits on whatever you put down.
Yeah.
You get those too?
Yeah. Ad blocker.
Well, yeah. We've talked about that before. Ad blocker is a good application if you're trying to actually stop ads that are generated off of web pages. But it's kind of counter to your goal if you're using it to block ads that are generated from your computer. What you really want to do is get the ad generator out of your computer.
It would have happened at a recent date.
I couldn't figure out how to get it out.
Have you guys tried Malwarebytes? You tried that and couldn't get it out? You know, I would continue trying Malwarebytes, making sure it's up to date. Yeah. It offers you protection from viruses infecting your computer. But it's not really a virus. Yeah, it's not in that category of things. Well, it could, but again, a pop-up blocker is intended to stop ads that are generated off of the internet. Like, you could stop your popping up behavior by not going to that website. But if you're continually going to that website and ads are annoying you, then you use a pop-up blocker to stop those ads from coming up. Now, if you've got pop-ups coming up in your computer regardless of where you go, you've got an ad generator installed in your computer. And your goal should be to get rid of the ad generator.
When I had that DLL problem, I finally went out and found a video that showed me exactly where to go in my startup menu to actually eradicate it. And I finally did get rid of it.
Okay.
So that was finding the right video that would go along with
it. I did that before and I forgot where it was. So.
Well, yeah.
So this is the third time I've ever
said it. Just take the name of it and search that. Every file that
you know
up,
what?
Deleted.
You get 3 pages of companies that are in business now to try and get rid of them.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to go. But this was a video that explained exactly where I should go in my startup menu because that's where it was started.
That's where it was.
And that's where you had to go to get it. Yeah.
Well, if it is something like a startup item, you use a utility like Glary's Utilities to look at your startup items.
None of that worked. I had to go to find that video and it explained exactly where. Step by step, how I went in and found it.
But I would imagine you had to use msconfig and go in and disable the startup item.
After I went to the startup menu, the first time I didn't do it right, so I went back and watched the video again and did it correctly. I couldn't tell you exactly.
So without knowing what the video is, I think the Glary's Utilities is a good utility. It'll let you disable everything on startup. You just go to the startup items. It's Startup Manager, it's called, and it lists everything that's starting up in the computer. And you can deactivate all those and see if the problem goes away. So it didn't go away when you deactivated those?
No.
Okay.
You call it
your
Glary's?
Glary's Utilities. It's Glary's.
You need that no matter what. For other things.
You do.
Yeah,
it run it this every now and then.
Glary's Utilities.
Glary's Utilities.
There's a free version.
Yeah, you shouldn't need the pro version. Anything that we recommend here would be a free utility that we recommend. So if somebody's asking you for a credit card, you're probably downloading the wrong thing. Or you're getting caught up in buying a pro version of it.
You Google it, it'll come up.
Oh, and in your browser, like Dustin was saying, there is add-ons or extensions under setup, and that's a list of things that have gotten installed in your browser. Now, one of these cleanup programs hopefully checks plugins, but sometimes it'll miss it. And you could look through that list and try and self-identify what that is. And again, you know, those, all those extensions as plugins, plugins for Firefox, extension for Chrome, you have installed those, whether intentionally or not. There's nothing that's going to diminish a general internet experience by removing every plugin that's in there. And you'll immediately discover whether you need the plugin or not, because you'll go do some of your normal activity, and it will tell you you need this plugin installed for you to be able to do it. So it's safe. I feel like it's safe for me to say, just remove all the plugins. I mean, it's the same thing with Internet Explorer. Go and reset your browser. That removes all the plugins, removes all the toolbars. If you're using Internet Explorer, which I don't recommend, but if you were using Internet Explorer and it's acting freaky on you, you can go into Internet Options, go to the Advanced page, click the button Reset Browser, and reset everything.
Why don't you let it
default?
Scott, can I ask you for a comment on Gary? They may not be aware of. When you go to the Gary startup portion of their program.
Yeah, the startup manager in Gary.
It excludes the necessary program. It excludes
Oh, you're right. It excludes all the.
Point that out.
All the Microsoft services.
Stuff you don't want to eliminate, it excludes them from the list.
Right. It's made up a list of all third-party pieces of software that's starting up.
Yeah.
To reset Internet Explorer? I recommend resetting Internet Explorer all the time to solve computer problems. You go into the control panel, or actually it depends on what version. Go into Internet Explorer under Tools at the bottom of the list. There is at the bottom of Options. Yeah, Internet Options. It opens up a dialog box. This is where you would set an Internet Explorer home page. It has a list of tabs across the top of this box. The last tab is one that says Advanced. And then on that page, there's a button that says Reset. And you click that button, and it brings up another dialog, and it asks you if you want to reset your personal settings. I recommend you're not using Internet Explorer for anything personal, so I would always recommend deleting personal settings. Gary asked me just a moment ago. You have to say, okay, 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 and then you're done with that. When Internet Explorer starts up the next time, it won't have any extra toolbars, it won't have any plugins installed in it. The reason I don't recommend Internet Explorer ever is because Microsoft has intertwined Internet Explorer into the operating system. There still exists problems and infections that could cause your computer to have problems simply because your web browsing experience has caused problems, which is not a similar case in most circumstances with Firefox and Chrome. These are third-party applications. Your web problems stay in the web browser for the most part. They can't cross lines. Your operating system for the computer isn't using components of Firefox to be your computer. There isn't some subsection of Windows that's using part of the Chrome web browser to run its Windows stuff, whereas that's not true with Internet Explorer. Internet Explorer, a new version comes out, it's upgrading components that are actually used in the operating system. In the past, we've seen problems with this kind of stuff, like in the control panel, in add remove programs. They're using web components from Internet Explorer to generate those pieces of your computer's operating system. So you can have problems such as parts of your computer are not displaying correctly, and it turns out it's some garbage in Internet Explorer that's violated that line between your computer and your web experience.
Well, if you're not using it anymore, like I just jumped out of it a few years ago and I went to Chrome first and Firefox.
Mm-hmm.
Should you try and delete it?
No.
Just leave it there.
I don't think you can.
You really can't, and in the past there's been hacks for getting it out of the system. But that's right. The best advice I could give you is always make sure it's up to date. Always have the latest version. Never use it for anything. And if you're trying to solve some obscure Windows problem, one of the first things I would do is go to Internet Explorer and reset it back to defaults.
Oh, okay.
To make sure that that's not actually the problem you're having.
Have you used Chrome or Firefox?
Yeah, I use Chrome and Firefox.
Oh, both?
Yeah, both of them all the time.
Well, I used to recommend switching back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I heard too. Yeah. I jump from one to the other every other day.
I jump from one to the other all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know, sometimes I use one web browser I do work for my parents' bed and breakfast. And so I keep a lot of bed and breakfast stuff in my Chrome browser. And then I synchronize Chrome across various computers I'm using. So then I can bring those bookmarks and the home pages and things like that across to the other computers I'm using. Most of the work that I do for my business down here, I do in the Firefox browser. And it's the same deal. I synchronize using XMarks, the synchronized bookmarks and things like that. And so in one aspect, I use both as an organization technique. But even in my line of work, I use both just to verify I'm having one experience in one browser versus another experience in another browser. I think for the last few generations of both browsers, I think the general consensus is that Chrome is the faster browser right now. I think that's been true for the last half a dozen releases, is that Chrome is a faster experience. But Firefox is fairly robust. It's got a huge list of applications of things you can do with it. Chrome has a much more curated list of things you can add to it. It's become a very large platform. I'm seeing some glazed over looks. So if you're not aware of this, both Chrome and Firefox can be used as operating systems in themselves. And for all practical purposes, they have an application store. You can go in and you can download features to either one of these browsers and make these browsers do things that you never expected a web browser to do. Off the top of my head, I can think of games. Like, for example, you can download Angry Birds into your Chrome browser, and without an internet connection, you can play Angry Birds in your Chrome browser. Yeah, there's a good reason.
Chrome a little more difficult to get around the internet. Just maybe me, but
well, it's less standardized on that Windows way of doing things. Yeah, it's a very Chrome way of doing things. I mean, one of the things Google has going for it is that if you've adopted to Chrome and you become accustomed to the Chrome way of doing things, then their operating system is very much the same experience. So later in the future, when Chromebooks are much more common, you sit down at a Chromebook, you really feel like you're just using a Chrome web browser. And if you're familiar with that, then you're ready to run the Chrome operating system. Well, I mean, that's user experience, absolutely. And even the apps that you install in it are the same apps that you would install in Chrome to be able to do email, look at news, and do. But I mean, on that token, Chrome has a search application. Right? It's a browser. It's got search built right into it. But it will allow you to install an app so that there's a icon that shows up for your Google searches. Yeah, no, I think there's good reasons to use either or. I recommend having both. When you're having problems getting this is the biggest reason to have more than one web browser. When you're going to a site and you're having problems and you're a novice, it's very easy to switch over to another web browser and try it from another web browser. And then the act of it working in another web browser helps to deduce the kind of problem you may be having. Oh,
question.
Wait, let me follow up one last thing with Chrome. One of the interesting things that they've done is that they have licensed Adobe Reader and they've licensed Adobe Flash. So you don't need those programs installed. Now, those programs represent a major security vector for infections. A lot of the things that have come into computers in the last few years have been compromised Flash installations. They've written some kind of Flash program that takes advantage of a security problem with the Flash you have installed in your computer. So you go to watch a video on some bizarre site or run a Flash animation, and it's a Trojan. You're watching something interesting, but in the background, it's taking advantage of your computer. As a consequence, and that's the same with PDFs. You can get a malformed PDF that reads like some content that matters to you, but it actually is compromising your computer in the background. So the way that you get around that is that you are constantly making sure you have the latest versions of Flash and the latest versions of Adobe Reader installed. Now, Adobe, because they went from not caring about these, they literally in the last 5 years, Adobe has gone from not caring at all about this security problem to making it one of the number one focuses to deal with. It's kind of a Microsoft effect. I don't know if you guys remember when Microsoft didn't care about any of its security problems, and Bill Gates put a bounty on finding bugs in security, made security a monthly report. I really instigated it. It's the reason we have Patch Tuesday. We talk about it the second Tuesday of every month. We've got a whole slew of updates getting downloaded into your computer. Those are all security patches, vulnerabilities that have been found and fixed by Microsoft, and they want to make sure that you get those fixes into your computer so you're not vulnerable anymore. Well, Adobe had to adopt that kind of attitude. They also adopted what's called a sandbox approach, where the area of memory that they run in is buffered away from the rest of the operating system. And since they've done that, it's become a lot less of a security threat. You really have to let the threat into your computer. All that being said, in Chrome, they've licensed these technologies. What that means is Google has taken the responsibility of updating Flash away from you and put it into their browser. So now Google's responsible for making sure it's got the latest version of Flash and the latest version of Adobe Reader in their web browser. So you can run a computer now more secure by not having Flash installed in your computer if you choose to run Chrome.
That's why I never get that.
That's right. Both Adobe Reader and Adobe Flash can be uninstalled. Now you are giving... You're giving Google the responsibility of making sure Google's got the same problem. They've got to keep Flash up to date. When a Flash vulnerability is found, they have to push out that new version of Flash to you through their browser. But honestly, especially from if you're a novice, but even from my perspective, I trust Google to push out the latest version of Flash faster than I can remember to make sure I got it installed, in my opinion.
Using Firefox, then you have to have Flash installed.
You have to. They haven't licensed it. Now they have licensed a version of a PDF reader. So if you're using Firefox, you don't need to have Adobe Reader installed. You can use. And if you've got Windows 8, Microsoft has its own PDF reader called Microsoft Reader, and so you don't have to have Adobe Reader installed.
I've got an old Mac computer that will no longer update Flash. That's whatever. The operating system is going to do it.
Really?
I'll put Chrome in that computer, will it? Will it solve that problem? Yes, sir. You've got exactly the same computer. But
yeah,
that's iMac Pro.
I'm using the standard one.
Chester's laptop is running Windows, isn't it?
I'm running Windows on my iPhone.
Yeah. But it kept coming up and say that it needs an update. I'm going to go to get the update and it says I can't do it because the operating system is no longer supported.
It doesn't support it any longer. That's a real classic app.
I'm wondering if you put Chrome in there, which already has the flash installed in it, would that solve that problem?
Well, you're going to find out for us, right?
Yeah.
Because everything I understand about how that works is the answer is yes. It should work.
If you're not using Chrome, you're not online, for example, if you're not doing that, and you want to open a PDF file, don't you need Adobe Reader to do that?
Yeah. Well, if you want to open up a standalone PDF document, there is a way to associate it with a browser. Like you could say, open it up with a browser. You could start up Chrome and go File Open and open up that PDF.
Or if you have Windows 8,
you could just use Microsoft Reader. It would be ready to go. But Chester, that is a valid concern. I find that cumbersome and featureless. If I'm opening up external PDFs, I normally am looking for a couple more features than if I'm just opening up something off the internet. Like if I've taken the time to save something, like for me it would be like a service manual.
Manual. Absolutely,
yeah.
Manual.
Okay, so when I open up a service manual, I don't want to just see 300 pages and a search feature. I want to see thumbnails of the pages. I want to be able to jump to parts. If they've made the manual so that I can jump to page 37 by clicking on that in the table of contents, I want to take advantage of that feature. And so I haven't used Adobe Reader in a long time, and it's mostly because it's a huge program. It requires a lot of memory, and then the security issues. But at the moment, I'm trying to remember if I got this name right, because it's so similar to Firefox. I think the name of it is Foxit. Yeah, Foxit Reader is a PDF reader that's been around for many years. It's very fast. It's full-featured.
What's it called?
Foxit Reader.
Foxit.
Yes. Foxit Reader. I really like it. I like the features that it's incorporated as it's become more mature. At the same time, it's kind of a balancing act. There's been more advertising. Like Adobe Reader, you won't get any advertising. There is no advertising that they put into Adobe Reader. Adobe Reader, the reason that I shy away from Adobe Reader is because it's always been bloated. It's huge. So on lower performing computers, it takes a long time for it to start up, and if it's security problems. It's a big program that's slow to start, and it's got this security issue. It's the reason I stay away from it. I moved to Foxit many years ago. I'm still very satisfied in both those aspects. It's not as big of a security vector, and it's not as big of a program. It's fast to download. It's fast to load up. However, because it's free, as it's matured, it's had more advertising pop up. Like when it first opens up, it's trying to sell its own products. But besides that, and that's easily disregarded. I really like Foxit. I think that if you're looking for an alternative, you should look at it. And I get no kickbacks from Foxit. Yeah.
Speaking of
okay.
And I could get the different pages and all that stuff by asking to see them, moving them over to a larger screen, but I couldn't print this anymore.
So because it was all happening online?
You know, it wasn't highlighted at the book. So then I went to
Well, let me first ask, were you using a manual viewing service, which has become more common on the internet?
I'm just using iPad, you know, the Google.
Hold up a PDF?
PDF, and so forth. I finally found what I wanted.
Right.
But I couldn't print any of it.
Could you download it? Then
I tried.
What web browser were you in?
I was only in the standard.
No, I mean, was it Firefox or Chrome, or you're just using Internet Explorer?
Yeah, Internet Explorer.
Okay.
Maybe that's the problem.
Well, not necessarily, but what you're looking for is the ability to save that file.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And you should be able to do it, but I'm not certain how.
I asked, you know, I did the thing about saving it in a PDF.
Well, you see, the problem is that when, in Internet Explorer, you'd have to have a PDF reader to, unless you're in Windows 8.
I am.
Okay, so that's your problem.
That's
where you're having problems, is you're using Microsoft Reader. It brings it up, and this is a bizarre experience for people that are familiar with older versions of Windows and PDFs. It brings this document full center, full screen. You can zoom in, you can zoom out, you can flip through pages. You don't see any options. You don't know how to do anything with it. This, what I'm about to tell you works for all Windows 8 applications if they can print. If you're using a Windows 8 app and it can print, you go over to your charms bar on the right side of the screen. You can do that by pushing your mouse in the upper right or lower right hand corner, or you can swipe in from the right screen. Those charms appear, and there's a setting or a devices charm. I think it's devices is right there. And right after you hit devices, you'll see print, or you'll see your printer there. Yes. You click on your printer, and you'll have an option to print. And that option to print is for whatever you have full screen. So you have your PDF up, you hit your printer, you hit print, it's going to print your PDF up.
The whole thing.
Well, it'll give you print options after that, all in a Windows 8 style. It won't be that printer dialog box you're used to that says which pages you want to print, how many copies, but all that does exist in a Windows 8 fashion.
So you would do that when I was on that site, had that manual up.
When you had the manual up. That's right. Yeah.
If I uninstall the Chrome, will Google just take care of that?
If you're using Chrome right now, it's already taken care of.
So
you're not even using Flash. If you're already using Chrome for all your web browsing, you're not using Flash for doing your videos.
Like, when I open it up, and I look down on the...
Oh, and it says you have an update?
Yeah, it says updates, but it's also the little icon, if I minimize it, still has the Flash.
Yeah, it will.
Still Chrome.
That's still Chrome. Yeah, if you're running like full screen and you minimize and it gives you the, that's still Chrome that's taking care of that.
So if we get rid of our Adobe
Flash
and Adobe Reader,
Chrome will
give us more room. And you said it was available for
devices. Well, you guys are running a Windows 8 computer, so okay, if you're trying to etch out a little bit more performance out of your computer, you could do something like that, but it only affects you when you're doing PDFs. That performance issue, it's not in general. It's very specific when you're doing PDFs. So if you're trying to open up a PDF document, it takes a while for Adobe Reader to load up into memory, and it's got all these components. And the install, like when you go to download and update, they've gotten smaller. I mean, my complaints about it that pushed me towards a different PDF reader, they've gotten less so because they're doing regular updates now. Like, that was a big security problem. Adobe Flash, when there was a new version out in the past, it wouldn't tell you there was a new version. You'd have to go out and find out. Or normally people would find out, they'd go to a site like YouTube and say, well, you can't use this video because it's been made with a new version of Flash. You got to go get a new Flash. So your Flash could be like five generations out of date by the time you realize it's out of date. So that was a real security issue. Then you'd go download the latest version, and it would be four times what a program of similar nature. I'm sorry, I'm flipping between Flash and Reader. My experiences have become interwoven through the years. So I'm describing both the way Flash would behave and the characteristics of Adobe Reader. You're welcome. We're running out of time. We're 15 minutes over. I really, really am enjoying the questions. It's all good information.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
I need to sign out because I just don't have any more time.
Yeah.
But please bring your questions next week. Check our website at sccclub.org. It's a place where you can comment on these. We stream this live every Tuesday from 9:15 to 10:15-ish, obviously, because we're 15 minutes over. If you found something helpful in this meeting and you find yourself back on the website listening to it again, please comment on what you found helpful so other people can find the same information. If you, like I said before, you probably don't have to take notes because you could always come back and listen to this meeting. I'll post it up on the website, sccclub.org. I'm Scott Stimson with International Computer Solutions. That's pretty impressive. I screw up my own business. You can find my business at internationalcsi.com. If you have computer problems, please get a hold of us. If you're looking for our meetings, we meet here at Tequila's. Tequila's does a great job. They cater to our needs. They provide us with Wi-Fi and coffee and table service Tuesdays from 9:15 to 10:15. I guess that's it. So I'm going to sign off. I'll see you guys next week and continue loving tech.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.